This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to blast him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version, so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, Football Friday today, live from Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars memorabilia show and autograph signings, including later today, Joe Andreessen, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, all on the schedule for tonight, starting at 6, right here at Batavia Downs. Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Cards.
This has to bring back some memories for you, does it not?
Well,
I mean, I've been here a couple times, but you were in this business for a while.
Kinda, so semi, yeah. I've set up in there. That's what you're saying.
And yeah, right.
I have fond memories of those days. I walking through, saw a lot of familiar faces and some still close friends. So it's cool and
good deal.
It's still. I'm not the one to say anymore because I'm not really as involved by far. Like from the hobby days, but it seems like it's still thriving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, kids are interested in it. There's new product, and even if it is different, of course, it's way different from when we were kids when it came to collecting with autograph cards and memorabilia and just different things. It's way different, but at the heart of it, it's the same. And
yep,
like it's still as appealing to kids as it was, you know, decades ago.
And didn't the whole thing sort of overall get a boost during the pandemic or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like that happened, right?
At least, like the vintage stuff that I had collected was very popular, went way up in price those years. You know, does that make sense? Maybe it does, that people couldn't go do things, so they needed a new hobby, you know, new things to keep their interest. And card collecting seemed to be one of those things.
I might posit that what happened is a lot of people started going through things in their homes that they hadn't been through in a long time because they were trapped in there, and suddenly, like, oh, I've got some stuff that actually is worth something, says the internet. I should get into this. And then there you go. You got more product, more consumers, more interest, more money. There you go.
Good that the demand was able to keep up with that in that case. Yeah. So anyway, it's fun to be here. There's a bunch of autographs autograph sessions planned for tomorrow, too. We'll go through some of the times and the details as we go. Kids 12 and under here today and tomorrow are free. Everybody else, it's $10. It's 4:30 to 8:30 tonight for the Cards and Memorabilia Show, and then 10 to 5 tomorrow. Eric Wood, a part of the lineup tomorrow. Okay, well, the Jets won a game. We saw that. I watched it. I know it happened.
Yes, they did.
I know I can believe this.
They did.
There were certain things to talk about here. I think maybe the Texans are more interesting than the Jets. The Jets are still 3-6, and those odds aren't great. But Houston looked like it made sense why they weren't favored in the game. And they've got an offensive lineman who's out for the year now. They had the same trouble that they'd been having protecting C.J. Stroud. And without Diggs for the year, without Collins at least for these few games, he'll be back. You know, it's not when we do the power rankings, but it would be interesting
to slot
Houston.
Yeah, they really looked like they had, other than Joe Mixon and like one sort of broken long pass, I mean, Stroud rolled out to his left and threw it down the field long to Dell.
He showed his talent on that play.
Yeah, he did. But that was really it. Like, their offense was really had a tough night. And protecting him was a big part of the problem. You mentioned the injury on the line. Similar names, right? The guy who got hurt and the guy who replaced him had maybe the same last name and just a slightly different first name, if I heard it right. Anyway,
Green.
Whatever. They just could not protect him. And that just all fell apart. And too bad because, I mean, you know, either way, I was going to be happy. Like, I'm glad the Texans got dinged and they're 6-3 because they have a head-to-head win on the Bills. And, you know, we'll see about playoff seedings and all of that. You know, the way the game started, just like nobody could do anything. And then you've got this Corley play. Mm-hmm. Was that early in the third quarter or was that still in the first half? I don't remember. When that was. He's just rolling into the end zone and drops the ball. And like, holy cow, like the most Jetsy thing that could ever happen. Just about right there happened. That was amazing. But they recovered and, you know, got a couple plays out of their quarterback and won the game.
That might be the fumble going into the end zone when nobody's tackling you. The single most incomprehensible thing in sports for me.
Yeah.
And this guy, Corley, who's not Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson, he's a guy who's yet to make a mark at all. It's always that for a rookie, but then on top of that is the stigma with Rodgers and like how he can just sort of shun you if he doesn't trust you. But now they lose Lazard. And so here's a chance for Malachi Corley to make a play. It's like the first play he's ever made. How does a guy not – I mean, I'm tucking the ball inside my shirt.
Right. I know.
On that moment to go in, how does it ever happen that somebody is just like so addle-minded that they just so caught up in the moment that they just drop the ball like
so
that?
So eager to style. I think. I mean, I can't, I'm so cool. Look, I dropped the ball just as I got over the goal line. I saw Eric Wood asking on Twitter about this. Like, you know, so he played pro football, obviously. He was like, as someone who didn't carry the ball, like, what is the thinking here? And I just think it's cool. I think it's cool factor. Like, it doesn't even mean I look at me. I dropped the, you know, it's just very casual and, you know, pretty stupid and undisciplined to not make sure you wait another step and then have your casual, I'm super cool moment. So I would assume this guy is shunned now. Although they didn't win the game, so maybe. I don't know. But I would expect that there'd be some shunning.
I don't think they went back to him. I don't think there was another play in the game, so maybe. But the Jets got enough. The Wilson catch is an all-timer.
That was hot.
Just – Can I just say it, though? Clear and obvious? Terry McCauley is the ref announcer in the booth last night. He's the one for NBC that would always tell you that the standard is clear and obvious. Al Michaels was doing those games, too. Terry, what about it? It has to be clear and obvious, Al. You know, and as these things go, isn't that kind of like pretty useful, actually not terrible, actually just not the kind of thing that makes you crazy. It's still going to be subjective, but let's remind everybody that the standard, this is what is actually the case or supposed to be in the NFL, is up here. We have a system, some of us hate it, but we have a system that can fix egregious errors. But they have to be egregious. It has to be clear and obvious, or else we're not going to bother. And that also should make it fast. Because you should be able to, if it's obvious, you should be able to see it right away and then get on with the game. Either way, it's not obvious, we're moving on. Call stands. There was nothing about that. I would say that did not meet the level of clear and obvious. It met the level of amazing. And you'd want that, especially if you're New York or L.A., you'd want that to count.
Mm-hmm.
But was it obvious? Like, now we're still not yet to a point in time where we feel like we know how all the body parts work and which count and which don't. We had the 2 feet, but they had to be different feet.
Right, with George Pickens on Monday night. And now here we got, it was the same leg. Same leg, but not the foot. So, like, the shin, I feel like any other leg part takes the place of even 2 feet. Like, right, if you get a knee down in bounds or a butt cheek down in bounds, but no feet,
that's fine.
I think that's fine, right? So that's where we ended up last night.
But I want to know, like, where the shin starts. Like, I wasn't mad that it happened because I had Wilson and the Jets, and, like, I wanted it to count. But you can't tell me that there was anything obvious about that. Like, where are we drawing the line between the knee and the shin?
Yeah, I thought the one shot from, like the front of the end zone, where you could see the shin hitting, didn't clearly show that the knee wasn't hitting at the same time out of bounds. I didn't think it was clear and obvious anyway. I would say there was some question because of the angle that was presented at. And then when they did it, you know, from the other way, you couldn't see the other part. I didn't think it had to be overturned, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, I think you're saying the same thing. But I'm fine that it was. It looked close enough to okay, but that's not supposed to be the standard. Like you're saying, it's supposed to be better than that. So I don't know.
We'll never know,
yeah.
Right? We'll never know.
I felt like it was a crime against humanity.
Oh, let's go.
That on the Corley play, while they're trying to figure that out, they at least tell you what the possibilities are, right? I think Terry McCauley did explain. If the ball is acted upon by the Jets, they're going to get it where he fumbled, like the half-yard line or something. If it was fallen on by the Texans, it's going to be their ball and a touchback. If it rolled out of bounds, it's going to be Houston's ball and a touchback. Then they went to commercial instead of showing us where the ball went. Like, they could have rewound the tape. They could even literally, I would have watched that play.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Backwards until the spot where they showed the ball. But like, yeah, oh, well, I guess we'll wait till we come back. What? This is not, is it a touchdown? Is it Houston ball? Is it Jets ball? Those are the choices, and you're selling me insurance now? You hold off for a second here, all right? Sell me some insurance after you tell me whose ball it is. I'll wait. But you don't go away and not show me a single replay of where the ball ended up. It's the only thing that matters on the play now is where the ball ended up, if we agree that he dropped it early, which I think we did before they went to commercial. Like, what are you doing here? Show me that play. Well, it was a terrible job to take a break there.
I mean, you know as well as anyone, those kinds of things are pre-scheduled.
Well, you gotta be able to adapt You're going to be able to wait.
I can't remember why I wasn't watching the game during that play. I was must have been watching something else in the house, but I did. I wasn't watching the game during that play.
That was really annoying to me that they. And I'm not exactly. That's exactly how they did. They said, like, okay, we think it's we're going to get it overturned on him dropping it early. And here are the choices of what could happen. Because they, I think, all the people talking, nobody knew exactly where the ball went when the play ended. So they couldn't tell you. What could have told you was some video.
Was it obvious that he had fumbled before the goal line?
I don't know how obvious, but, like, yes. I feel like Al and Kirk and Terry got to, here's what's going to happen. They're going to have to decide where the ball. They're going to figure out where the ball ended up, and that's going to determine the play because it's almost definitely was a fumble.
It was more obvious than when Kyle Pitts did it last week?
I guess so. Yeah. I think so. I just don't know why they couldn't have just, you know, given us the information at that moment.
Well,
it was kind of annoying to me. Maybe
we're never going to know the rules, right? We're just never going to know the rules. It's always just a little bit out of reach. Shins.
Right.
Clear and obvious is only what we go by when it is what we go by. And other times, what game was I watching? The Vikings and the Rams. That was pretty obvious that the guy's face mask was turned all the way around his head.
Oh, there was one of those early last night, too.
Okay.
There was one, because Herb Street even said, I give him a lot of credit, because he even said, because there was it took a while for them to call a face mask penalty on someone. I don't remember which team it was on. It doesn't matter. But there was the flag was late coming in, and he said something to the effect of, "Where was that in our Viking game last week or whatever it was?" Because we could really use that. It seemed like maybe they got some help on that one or something to that effect.
Oh,
he said he probably had a meeting afterward.
I didn't see that either.
He probably had a meeting afterwards. Because, yeah, it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, what can SkyRef do and not do? Then, we don't know, and nobody knows, including Kirk Herbstreit.
That's right. I mean, that was last Friday right at this time when I asked you, is it okay if we just talk about the refs for a minute?
Right.
Because I don't believe that those so-called parameters and you know, whatever, designations, which calls can be reviewed and which not, I don't believe they're real. And you used to maybe think you could know, because challenges were all within the confines of the game. They were all from the coaches. I mean, or from the booth when it's under 2 minutes, you know. But still, like, everything that was reviewed was official. It was either a challenge play from the coach, or it was one of those other ones inside 2 minutes, scoring plays. You knew what the terms were, and now you don't. Because now we have SkyRef, SpaceRef, MoonRef. Now we have somebody else who is reviewing plays all the time, and the premise is, here I go again. I mean, the premise is that it's going to move the game faster, just make it better, correct obvious misses. They use this for ball spots. Is it a first down or not? It's really quick. You see the guy flick the switch on his earpiece, on his belt. He hears first down or not, points his finger across his chest, you know, to the other officials, and they just continue the game. You don't have you seen a measurement this year?
A couple, but yeah, it's not often.
Right. They're not in every game anymore.
Right.
So you've got this other person who's running all that, and no longer are all the challenges confined within the game. So, okay, well, we can't review that because it's a penalty. No, yes, you can, and you do. And we had, last night it happened. It's the same as ever.
It's an endless pit of complaining. Fortunately, it doesn't feel like the Bills have been really victimized by any of it yet, but there's still time.
They will.
We're not even halfway through the season yet. They've only played 8 games. They play 17 now, right?
They will.
Yeah, so they got time. They got plenty of time.
Well, I guess just get over it. The Sabres play tonight, home against the Islanders. Hockey fights cancer. Kevin Adams will join us for the first of his semi-regular visits over the course of the season. That'll be at 5:30 today. Sal will be on at 4. Sam Panayotovich coming up in 10 minutes from BetQL Daily. We'll do picks, I don't know when.
Somewhere in there, I suppose.
4:40 or 5, maybe?
Wherever it fits in, man.
The Bills are they still 6-point favorites? That's the last I looked. They were 6-point favorites against Miami. We talked to Joe Ostrowski yesterday, and I don't know. He said he was going to stay away from it. I just have a hard time betting Miami on this one. And I'm one to just kind of question all the spreads. You know, why, if it doesn't make sense to me, why is it this way? And to me, this feels like a game where the Bills should be bigger favorites. But guess not. Yeah, it's still six and 49.5. And, you know, think of last night, right? That was a questionable one to many, that the Jets would be favored, but they
comfortably won.
Kind of comfortably won, yeah. After, as you said a long time ago now, a really rough start. I mean, it's hilarious when they're bad.
We've had a lot of fun
with the Jets.
I mean, they're getting booed, like, first series.
Yeah.
They're getting booed. I mean, it's so
the first play is to Adams on the right sideline. He's got his man beat, and Rodgers throws it into the crowd.
Well, they got there. So, I mean, you know, good work.
This is such another, as we've talked about a lot this week, huge game for Tua and the Dolphins to try again. So far, it's almost always been futile to beat Josh Allen and the Bills. Having lost to them already this year, having fallen into a huge hole in the standings, 3.5 games behind with that tiebreaker loss on top of it. And Tua, it's not just the Bills. I mean, his career, he's had a lot of these games where you just sort of are reminded that he's not on the top level. His record, and also with the point spread I read, on the road against good teams is brutal. Compared to Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan was somebody else, apparently, who had this career, or at least for a stretch. And I don't remember, it's too long ago, I guess, maybe I would have at the time, but really thought of Matt Ryan that way, as somebody that
struggled
on the road against good teams was going to lose. But that's been Tua so far, and who knows what happens next, but for him, it's another opportunity to rewrite that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, the question, it's not just him, it's about whether the Dolphins for once can do anything against Allen, who has just absolutely destroyed them. The four home games, or the last four, Allen against the Dolphins, I mean, 28, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something.
Yeah, it's like offensive player of the week type stuff,
like
from Allen when he plays this
normal
team. It's very, very much how it usually goes. Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting my – I also, on one hand, think, of course, the Bills own this team and the game's in Buffalo and, you know, why would you not expect the Bills to just handle business here? But something about where they both are is just sort of stuck in my head, and I feel like I haven't thought like this about a Bills game in a while. Because the Bills, when have they been so comfortable, you know? Like, it freaks me out that they should feel comfortable because of the lead they have. And I think you probably, as an athlete, as a coach, probably are fighting against that, right? Like, trying to keep McDermott and the coaching staff, trying to keep everybody's attention. And the players know, they'd be telling themselves, like, every one of these matters, this really matters. But, like, literally, they also know that they have a cushion. And the Dolphins know they do not. And that just concerns me. I wonder, when we talked with Joe a little bit about this yesterday, I mean, everything is considered. Everything is baked in to where these lines end up in these totals. I wouldn't go near this game because I just don't – I'm not sure – I don't have confidence about it because of this point. And it's one of my least favorite points to make because whoever knows? We're never going to know. The Bills aren't going to tell you. They might say that they weren't as sharp or attention to detail or something because it'll explain a sloppy loss if it comes. But is that really what happened? I mean, I don't know. You just have to take their word for it. But it's in my head
or
this
not.
Week. Yeah, right, or not. But it's in my head this week. You can tell. I mean, I'm not sure what I would want to do with this game.
If they were favored by 8, would it feel any different?
Yeah, no, I think it would. When you asked me, I think the other day, and I hadn't seen the lines yet, maybe it was even on postgame Sunday, I said 8.5.
Okay.
I think was my number. And that's a pretty big miss. But yeah, I think I would. I feel like the line is being held back by this point. And so if it's getting any credence at all, I'm just a little worried about it. It's always felt this week has felt like a big week for the, you know, who wants it more crowd.
I wonder what our next guest will say about it, Sam Paniatovich, because I wonder if the fact that it's 6, what it says about the Bills that might mean something. We'll talk to Sam next. Look at the rest of Week 9 as well. Sal Capaccio at 4, Kevin Adams at 5:30 pregame for the Sabres and the New York Islanders. The Sabres have won 7 straight home games against the Islanders, and so they'll try to make it 8 tonight. The Sabres GM, Kevin Adams, with us at 5:30. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars show. Autograph signings tonight. Joe Andreessen, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, with Andreessen first up at 6. We'll give you more details throughout the day. This is WGR.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.